Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, hello. It's Thursday afternoon, and we are back on the Chase Thomas podcast. I'm still the aforementioned Chase Thomas. And I am joined by old friend Tyler Batiste of TheAthletic.com, a very good sports website that you should go subscribe to if you are not already. Tyler, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, man?
Not too bad. It's a beautiful day out here. I have to run now before it gets to like 2 to 3 o'clock here in Knoxville because I just I'm worried about my health at that point because I'm a good distance runner and it just gets too hot and there's been some times where I'm like, oh yeah, this is over. But I'm also trying to get tan and get a nice baseline going. So I've settled for noon after I've done my morning writing and reading and just I'll do it around then. But yeah, it's getting very, very hot. It's officially the hot point of the summer.
I've been blessed the past couple of days here in Pittsburgh. It's been like in the 70s, which is like, I'll absolutely take that anytime in mid-June. You know what I mean? Especially being from South Louisiana, where it could be like 95 degrees right now and it could be way worse. So, I'm in the same boat, man. I'm still trying to figure out like the best time to try to get that exercise and workout in the middle of the day. I'm trying to get back out there and play a little more basketball, at parks, because obviously it was a little difficult to do that for the past, 15 or so months, but now people are playing pickup games and I need to kind of find a couple of parks to put in my rotation and figure out the best time to go out there and not, sweat an entire ocean while I'm out there trying to play. So we're in the same boat when it comes to that.
I miss pickup basketball, but I'm retired. I turned 30 this year. It sucks because I'll run by it sometimes. And this was especially true before I moved to Knoxville for school. Just living downtown Atlanta for years, like I would just run through it and they're just available everywhere. Like they're just there. But the problem with that is, man, your body starts to betray you. And basketball is way harder on your body than running and just lifting and stuff like that was, just because your knees and you're colliding and like I have chipped a tooth. I have messed up my arm. I've messed up my shoulder. I've destroyed my knees, colliding knees. Like I tore something in my knee. Like basketball pickup games in my 20s accounted for no less than 96% of my injuries. So like I feel like if I continue on in my 30s, like it's just only going to get worse. So if I'm doing it, I'm just hooping. Like I'm just by myself getting shots up at the gym. But like I don't know if I can play pickup anymore. I'm just terrified of getting hurt.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the point of running like full 5-on-5 games. Yeah. But the first couple of times after you haven't played in a while, you're kind of going out there and like you said, you're like shooting by yourself on a basket, or if you're in a big gym, there's a few extra baskets where you can just kind of It sounds like, not to make it sound like we're professionals, but to like get your own individual work in. Mm-hmm. And people are like, hey, do you want to run a 3 or do you run a 4 and 4, 5 and 5? And like, I'm smart enough now and I'm old enough to know that like I can't do that without right. Like without stretching or practice or anything
or you'll
like
be
that.
Sore. But, the next day exactly. by so exactly. much. Like, I used to be able to just play 6 hours a day and just be fine the next day. Like, if I play 2 hours, like, the next morning, like, I need ice all around my knees. Like, I'm warped. It's brutal.
Yeah, yeah. My goal is to be able to run an actual full game of basketball by July 1st. That's kind of, like, my internal goal. We'll see if I make that.
Well, I'll hold you to it. And the listeners
yeah, check
podcast,
in with me. And
mark it down. It is June 17th, so you've only got 2 weeks, sir.
Yeah, I could do that, I think, maybe.
Okay. Well, after this, you better get in there because I'm hitting the golf course after this. That's the other thing. It's like, I want to get back in my golf game. And really, that's the other thing. It's like preparing for old age, sir, is golf is going to have to replace a lot of my basketball activities and stuff like that because I need something that I can play later in my life. And golf is one of those natural ones, and I've become addicted to it because I'm a competitive person. It's the other reason I have to stay away from pickup games is because I won't be able to pull myself out, and I'm a trash talker, and I get too into it, and then
you forget that it's like a pickup game. Yeah.
Right. And it's just not healthy for me. It's not healthy, so I have to go away from it. But you know what else is not healthy, Tyler?
What else?
The amount of professional wrestling I watch every week.
Lovely segue. I loved it.
When you've been doing this podcast for as long as I have, Tyler, you become a natural at segues. No, I watch a lot. What is your, because we haven't talked in a couple of years now about pro wrestling, like what, I'm always intrigued by what other like fellow professional wrestling fans do in terms of their weekly wrestling habits, because real life has responsibilities, and when
right. You're
a kid, you have the time to watch everything, and college especially, just to watch and do whatever you want. But adult life, especially when you're in a relationship or you have kids or whatever, like you got to pick your battles. So Tyler, what is your weekly routine?
You know what, it's kind of changed over the past month or so, because you know, as you mentioned, I work at The Athletic, and I'm the managing editor for our NBA coverage. So obviously the playoffs have been going on. There's games every night. So, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'm watching, you know, whatever NBA game is on as opposed to whatever wrestling might be on. And then I try to catch up, you know, usually during the day, the next day, or at most a couple of days later. So it's been kind of difficult. Usually I try to watch NXT and AEW live if I can, and kind of catch most of the highlights of Raw, and then SmackDown is kind of hit or miss, obviously, because it's just like, you know, with kind of the world opening back up a little bit, and Friday nights, it's been a good time to see people. But also SmackDown is so good that, you know, I don't want to, you know, miss it. So I usually try to catch it, you know, either when I get home on Friday night or that Saturday morning while I'm kind of, you know, preparing for the day to run whatever errands might need to be run and stuff. So I try to get a little bit as much as I can from all of the major players here in the U.S., you know, and then I have a really good friend who is a huge New Japan fan. And so he kind of fills me in on like when I need to swoop in and see a certain match or follow a certain storyline. But yeah, if you tried to follow like all of the great pro wrestling that's happening right now, like it would take away from, you know, your responsibilities and like the stuff you have to do. So it's a good problem to have, though. I'll tell you that.
It's good and bad. Like the Hawks continuing to advance is slowly destroying my life. Like Tennessee baseball and the Hawks just keeping their seasons alive is delightful, but also just terrible for my work life balance, because it's a lot. It just there's something else on. So we got the Braves, we got Atlanta United back, we got the Hawks advancing, we got Tennessee baseball just never losing, and now in the College World Series. And then you just
I gotta tell you, I'm a little bitter about that, because you know, I'm an LSU alum, and you know, I thought maybe LSU's Cinderella postseason run could you know, go all the way to Omaha last weekend, and then they ran into Tennessee, which and had the expected result there. But I'm okay, I'm over it now.
Which
I'm
was your favorite home run from Tennessee in the final game?
It was the last one, because that meant it was over.
The last one, okay.
that meant it was the beatdown was over. I tell you, I was
Jordan
Beck's
was my personal favorite. Not that you asked, but Jordan Beck's just effortless homer. I think it was like the fourth or fifth, like the homers that just, once it was clear it was going to be like 10-2, it was like, oh
right,
this is a delight.
I was eating with a couple of friends and and I asked the bartender if he could put it on ESPN2 because there was a TV that was on nothing important, right? And from the time I asked the channel to be changed to the time it was changed, the score went from like 3-2 to like 6-2 or 7-2 or whatever it was, and I was like, well, okay, this is probably done by this point, but you know, I'm committed. So
I mean, it was so much fun. And I don't know, like seeing LSU go down and putting your manager away in style after complaining about the raucous of the Tennessee Volunteer fans and just the whining from Baton Rouge.
I could see how that would be enjoyable for you. Yeah,
it was great. Tony Vitello, but also just like there was some possibilities that Vitello would make the move to LSU.
Right, right.
But he is staying put, thankfully. Like, who would want to don don purple and yellow? It's just a nasty combination.
Okay, all right. Well,
it's you don't need that.
I do love the song Rocky Top, but not as much as Tennessee plays it. Like, it's too much. It's all the time.
No, but like, it's fine on a Saturday if you're out watching at a bar and like Rocky Top just goes for every score. It's a fun feeling. Like it's a fun thing. As much as I would love to just bask in the dominance that is Tennessee baseball, we should probably get into some pro wrestling, Tyler. My favorite thing in pro wrestling this week was Samoa Joe's return to NXT. I don't know if this was the case for you. Did you see the disparity between the YouTube numbers for his return on NXT and everything else that happened on the show?
No, I did not.
It's like 900,000 for Samoa Joe's two videos on their page, and everything else is like 98K. Like,
oh God, wow.
He put up crazy numbers. It was great. Like, I thought this whole opening promo with him and Karrion Kross was top notch. Regal was great. I think this is really fun. I think the moment of him making Cole go to sleep backstage was great. This is good, and I thought this was one of my favorite NXT shows in a long time. Like, top to bottom, this was a brilliantly booked show. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was interesting that they kind of teased like a Samoa Joe Karrion Kross match, or at least confrontation, kind of at the end of that promo. And the thing that was really stood out to me was just kind of, yeah, I think Karrion Kross is fine. I don't think he's anything particularly special, at least the way he's been booked. But like, the reaction when he came out was just kind of non-existent, right? Like, it's not like there were a lot of people in the venue there, but it wasn't like it was a strong, you know, booing or strong cheering or anything. It was just kind of like, oh, the champion's here. And then by the time he left after interacting with Samoa Joe, they were chanting, you know, no, whatever it was. So like, that just to me showed the power of just having like Samoa Joe's presence, not only as like, you know, an intense guy and a competitor, or at least teasing to be a competitor. We'll see what happens with like his health situation, but he's so good on the mic, and he can do it, you know, in a face or a heel role, and he can just kind of elevate whoever needs to be elevated around him. And there's a lot of potential there, depending on how they kind of utilize him going forward. I thought it was pretty exciting. And like, now I'm like, oh man, what's he going to do next week? And I'm just interested to see how the summer goes.
Yeah. I'm back and forth on Karrion Kross. I understand the aesthetic.
Yeah. Right.
But it's kind of like Bray Wyatt-y for me, where it's like, I enjoy the presentation. I enjoy the just very pro wrestling aspect to his character, but
yeah,
once he's actually in the ring and he's working,
once the bell,
like,
rings, it's different. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just a guy. Like, there's nothing special about him as a worker. And that was always the issue with Bray Wyatt, is like, he's a great character guy, he's a great promo guy, he's great at just being creative, but once he gets in the ring and has a match with Randy Orton, you're like, oh right, this guy just has his limitations in this area.
Yeah. And it's like, like you said, the most special thing about him is kind of his entrance and kind of the aura around him. But like, you know, I wonder how different it would be if, you know, it's ironic because it stands out in NXT, because NXT is such an in-ring based, you know, kind of television show. You know, the top stars are just, you know, obviously guys and women who can just work in the ring, you know, O'Reilly, Cole, Pete Dunne, all those folks. And so like, he's different. And I guess maybe they're trying to make him different. Like, that's the point of it, but it's just not quite clicking. You know what I mean? And the bad part is like, if he were on the Raw SmackDown roster, he might not stand out as much, and he might get his entrance changed, and he might have some tweaks to his character that just like don't work as much as they should. You know, I kind of think of like Finn Balor when I think about him, who kind of had the entrance that was a lot of like his persona, but like also Finn Balor is so great in the ring that like that elevated him more when you combine those two things. And like you said, like Cross doesn't have like that in-ring thing that kind of separates him from everyone else. But, you know, maybe if they book him differently as like kind of a more dominant, well, I guess he is pretty dominant, but, you know, just kind of, we'll see what happens going forward. I agree with you that like, there's something missing there. I just can't quite put my finger on what it is right now.
I think it's just like once he gets in the ring with O'Reilly and Cole and Balor and guys like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're not as good as them. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's just all it is. Like once you get in the ring, you're like, oh, right. Like it's just not the same. What else did you like about NXT this week? What else stood out to you?
I tell you, the thing that stood out, the big thing that stood out was like DiBiase taking a bump. I was like when he got hit by LA Knight, I watched it, I think, the next morning, and I texted my friend and I was like, did you see Teddy D like take a full bump in the ring? Like, not like, you know, not just kind of a you know, oh, I got hit and then you kind of fall over forward. Like, he took an actual bump and he's, you know, almost 70 years old. And I was like, all right, good DiBiase. You know, I wasn't at the point of like, man, he could have one more match, but I was like just surprised that he took that bump. Right. I've been pretty interested in like the whole LA Knight Cameron Grimes thing and how they've turned Grimes, you know, without changing his character much, into kind of like this baby face that people love. That's been pretty interesting. And I think LA Knight having that $1 million title is like the absolute right move. Right. Cause that seems like it should be on a heel. Like, it would be weird for, at least in my opinion, for like a face to be carrying around the $1 million belt. Just the persona suits a heel better. So like, I'm glad that storyline is going to continue. And like, I think those guys are like both going to get elevated from not only working with DiBiase, but like, you know, their match at In Your House kind of exceeded my expectations. And, you know, obviously to get the TV time to kind of follow that up the next week, that there's people backstage who kind of, you know, believe in what they're doing. So I'm interested to see where that goes. I thought that was really good. I'm a big fan of Io Shirai, so I'm glad to see her back. And it, you know, it looks like she's going to be in the tag title picture, which more Io Shirai, the better, in my opinion. So I agree with you. It was a great episode from top to bottom. I was, you know, thoroughly entertained, and it kicked off the right way with Samoa Joe and that interaction with Regal and Cross.
Yeah. Keith Lee just tweeted out reach, push, grind with a picture from him at NXT.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
His absence is, like, he's not really spoken about it. Mia Yim hasn't spoken about it. It, very peculiar, but Monday Night Raw has really, really needed somebody like him. And, I don't know. I've been wondering what's going on there. Because the longer these kind of things drag on, you're like, oh, is this a Jason Jordan situation? This is right. I don't know. These kind of things scare me. And Keith Lee is just so dang good. And I really wanted Raw to build around him. And they could use it because they've been building around someone who, let me check my notes here, stinks. And
who's that?
Who do you think I'm talking about?
I don't know. Is it McIntyre?
It is exactly Drew McIntyre. I want to write about this at some point. I'm just like the most preposterous wrestling push of my lifetime. Jinder Mahal is Drew McIntyre. And I think it's not even particularly close. Like, that guy has been given everything, like every moment, and just the way he's been booked over the last year and a half was like where they failed with Roman Reigns early on. Like, they're doing it now,
right?
And they figured it out, but like pulling the rug out from Roman Reigns the end of things, and you're like, okay, this is part of the reason people just can't buy in, it's because you haven't gone all the way in on this guy yet. And they have gone all the way in on making sure Drew McIntyre is seen as the top guy and just the it guy and everything, and it's just nothing works. And now historian Drew McIntyre, like, he's not terrible. And let me be clear about that. Like, I don't think he's terrible. I just think he's like a C+. Cass is an A. Like, Roman Reigns is an A. Like, everything works for Roman Reigns on SmackDown. Drew McIntyre's just like he's a solid hand. Like, he's a C. He's just someone who should be like a 13-time Intercontinental Champion. He's someone that I just think is an upper mid-carder who has been booked as just a Hulk Hogan type guy, just
right.
And I just don't think it works. I don't think he's that good.
So I guess I kind of see your argument there. I like McIntyre, but I agree that, like, I don't think he's on Roman Reigns' level. And I don't think that, like, I wonder how much of that it was kind of the pandemic, right? Like, obviously the ball was put in motion at the Rumble last year that they were going to, you know, have him beat Lesnar or and be the champion. But I wonder, like, how much of the pandemic was just like, well, we'll just keep the belt on him, you know, for 8 months or however it ended up, how long it ended up being. He lost it to Orton, and then was that November, I think? And then 3 weeks later, he got it back.
I blacked out multiple times during this.
So, I mean, I agree that, like, he maybe has been booked too strongly, but, like, I don't have a problem with, like, if you're an upper mid-card talent, you know, our competitor, like, I don't have a problem with, like, mixing up the title picture every now and then.
Well, no, like, I'm okay with the way they booked him. Yeah. It's just I would have rather have gone to someone else. Like, Keith Lee being booked this way, I think, would have gone over great. Bobby Lashley has been a much better champion. I mean, they made a creative flub this year by breaking up the Hurt Business because just look at Cedric and Shelton Benjamin's current standing. Like, there's just no reason. Like, Hurt Business was the best part of Raw for several months, and they were just like, we're bored. Like, Vince gets antsy and he just does things like that where they just break it up for no reason. It's like, no, stables are cool. Stables are one of my favorite things about professional wrestling. Don't break up stables if you don't have to. Like, I promise you, wrestling is not that complicated. And cool stables, when you stumble into something like Hurt Business, where I don't think they thought would be as good as it became.
Yeah, you got to ride it out as long as you possibly can. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I agree with you there. I like how Lashley's been booked, and he's so underrated as, like, a, you know, he's not a great talker, and the way that MVP has just kind of elevated him, and he's even been, like, a little more comfortable when he's had the mic recently. In the times that he's talked, I guess maybe just like having MVP by his side, maybe he has like a little more confidence. But I mean, when you look at that guy, you're like, he looks like, you know, a badass, and like that's a great champion to have. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay, like, I don't want to mess with that guy.
What do you think of Jimmy Smith so far on commentary?
I think he's been good.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's been really good. I mean, it seemed kind of like obvious when they hired Admin that, like, you know, obviously it's like that's different from calling any other event or any other sport, but like, it just wasn't working out. Like, you could tell, like, by the second week that there was just like that wasn't gonna work, right?
Gonna work because I just don't think that dude had time. Like, he had so many other things going on, and it's just I think it's impossible for those guys to work if they don't start off behind the scenes for years and like really like the Michael Cole thing of like really get to know everything, get to know the performers, have a couple years of memorizing and learning everything. Jimmy Smith knows it. Like, he just comes off like he's a fan and has been watching and knows what he's talking about and can call out moves. And like, Adnan clearly had not watched anything in a, like, since he was a kid. So when he's talking about, like, I grew up with all that, and it's like, yeah, that's great, but
yeah,
none of those guys are around anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not familiar with the product, it just doesn't work.
And plus, like, you know, having Vince McMahon and you know, whoever else in your ear for 3 hours, like, you kind of have to know how to handle that and not be flustered. And you know, it seems like something where you can almost have like a kind of like a training program, like, to where you can kind of do that, you know, behind the scenes for 3, 4, 5 months before they kind of throw you to the wolves on Monday Night Raw. And it, you know, I don't think he was great, but I also don't know if he got like a fair deal in terms of like, okay, we're going to make sure you're in the best position to succeed. It was just kind of like, hey, we brought in this big name and now he's going to be on Raw next week. Like, you know, like, I'm sure he's talented, but that's really hard to do. It's a really hard transition to make. But I think Jimmy Smith has been great. I think Pat McAfee has been, you know,
oh, well, Pat's amazing.
Anything he does is like gold. You know what I mean?
Pat is incredible. Like, right. Pat was just I was surprised they gave him that big of a spot, but Pat is phenomenal, and he makes SmackDown. I can't wait till the crowds are back and just his excitement and just everything that's gonna happen with that and the new sets. Like, did you see the report on the new sets that are coming out with the live?
I saw the report, but I didn't like see if there were like any images or
no. There's nothing like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like there's just gonna be more. I don't know. I'm excited. Like, I didn't like the big. Well, I don't even know what to call it. How do we even? You know what I'm like when you're coming out, like the big like Roman graphic that comes out,
right,
kind of stuff. I'm guessing is going away when they leave the Thunderdome because that stuff was just way too over the top and not.
It seems like they just kind of added as much, you know, as many graphics and illustrations and stuff as they could because there was no crowd. Yeah, but that thing's been around that was probably around before the Thunderdome, wasn't
was it
the big
really?
Like
I don't
the big like him doing the ooh kind of thing like I.
Well, like the big, I don't know. Again, like graphic, it's all like that yeah. big cartoonish graphic with certain, like, I don't know what to call it. I wish I knew how to call it. What I'm going to look this up after what to call this thing. But whatever it is, a Kevin Dunn special that I don't enjoy. Right. What did you make of Triple H's comments on all women shows going forward?
I kind of didn't agree with him, and like, I don't, I'm not going to, you know, I see what he was trying to say, I guess, but I just don't like I don't see a problem with like why he chose to like make a comment on it. You know what I mean? It's just like the more wrestling, the better, right? Like if there's a promotion or Mickey James or whoever wants to put together an all women show and highlight some of the some workers, like more power to her and more power to whoever else wants to do that. Like I don't know if we, you know, he kind of said like, haven't we already done them? Like was kind of one of the things he said, and it's like, okay, we can do more, you know what I mean? So maybe there's some like ulterior motive for him to say that, because he has some other business interest in mind or something, but you know, it seemed kind of weird to me.
Yeah, it's tough because I think there is a point where WWE loves to pat themselves in the back with this right. kind of stuff,
right?
And it's so complicated, and I don't even like, it's one of those things where as a male, I don't know, like, I don't know if my opinion matters on this.
Yeah. I don't think. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I think
not you personally. I just mean in general.
Well, yeah. And I just think I'm curious to know what the backstage, like, I think Charlotte Flair agreed with him. I think I saw today. I think the one time it happened, it was super cool and it's a great show. I don't really have any, like, I would not be opposed to it. I wouldn't just be like, oh, this is the shows that WWE cares and is just awesome and blah 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 blah. Like, I think it's just, I guess it comes down to like, I don't know, like, I would just not be comfortable making the point that Triple H made of just like, that's not how right. inclusion works. I'm like, I don't know, like, I would be curious to get the polling from all the women. Are they like, no, we're at a point now because we have women closing out WrestleMania that we feel like enough progress has been made that we're okay not singling out the women now. Like, I just wonder, because like the women's revolution feels like forever ago. Is there a sentiment among female wrestlers that they're like, we don't need to do this anymore? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, I would love to know like what the talent, how the talent feels about it. But like the all women's pay-per-view that they did, which I think was the main event, was Rousey, Nikki Bella, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But also, you know, you had Trish and Lita were in a tag match, and you had Charlotte and Becky, you know, in a TLC match or last woman standing or something, where I know one of them went through a table.
Yeah.
But it was it was a good show. And like when you put together like a really good show that had really, you know, 7-8 really good matches, like, it's like, why not try to do that again at some point? It's not like that show went terribly that, you know, that would make them think like, oh, we can't do this again. Bella Rousey was good. Charlotte Becky was great. Trish and Lita showed that they could still, you know, get it done in the ring. And there's enough, like, even if you want to bring back a few legends or people in NXT, like, there's enough talent around that, like, you know, why not try to do that again? Because the first one went so well. But, you know, I agree with you in that, like, I don't want to speak and put words in like the mouths of the talent and the people who are, impacted by this, and I don't want to, you know, speculate on any of that. But yeah, it seemed kind of a weird. His comments were kind of a weird, like, huh, that's odd to say, kind of thing. That was kind of my reaction.
Yeah, but he also hosts like one of the strongest women's divisions on the planet. He's been
the strongest.
Yeah, and he, well, hold on, it's still Impact Wrestling until otherwise noted. Impact Wrestling,
fair.
They have dominated in this regard. Shout out to them for doing a great job there. I still have to. It's going to take a while for anyone to catch Impact, I think.
That's fair.
WWE themed shows are coming back. Out of the return, King of the Ring, Cyber Sunday, which I guess they'll call Taboo Tuesday, Taboo Monday. I don't know what they're going
to
call it.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think of like what alliteration that could be used on like Friday that they could put on Fox that could.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
Like something Friday on Fox, or, you know.
We should have seen this coming, right? Like that they were going to come out with all the stops. Like I miss Gold Rush. Bring back the Gold Rush tournament. That was my jam. Love the Gold Rush tournament. I love the tournament feel. I think it ended with Edge winning, I want to say. And then
yes,
losing the
I think
title.
That's right, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I seem to recall it was Edge. Could have been Kane. I think they were in the finals because I think Kane and Edge were still feuding at that time. Anyway, we're gigantic pro wrestling dorks, and I can't believe I remember. But that was a long, long time ago. They've never brought it back, and I think they should. King of the Ring is basically the same thing, but they have to wear the silly stuff after. Like, that's the thing. It's like you wear it the one time, but then you have King Corbin for a year. You have King Sheamus for a year. And it's just, it's not a character. It's just them walking around looking goofy and just calling them King whatever for you. I'm not a fan. Like, the only time
King
I really
Booker
enjoyed
was
it was
great.
King Booker.
King
That's
Booker
it.
Was great. I was
that gonna, was it. We should have retired
say,
it
gotta,
with that.
We gotta give respect to King. I'm sorry, we said Booker. I think it was more like Booker.
Yeah,
the way
King
he
Booker,
said it with
yeah.
his you know, his British accent, because he's from the English side of Houston, Texas. Mm. So yeah, King Booker was great. I agree. I mean, it's something to get excited about, right? Like the I'm sure a lot of it is probably the you know, the TV networks and the mm-hmm. other stakeholders saying like, oh, we should kind of make, and you know, these TV shows a little more special. You know, it say if they're going to have these you know, King of the Ring, and hopefully there's kind of a Queen of the Ring too, because the mm-hmm. the women's division is so good that they could absolutely pull that off and have a women's equivalent to that tournament. Hopefully a lot of that, it seems a lot of that is going to be kind of on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown and stuff like that. And it seems like that's kind of a reaction to AEW, right? Like AEW has found a nice niche in terms of like having really special television shows. You know, they only have, what, 3 or 4 pay-per-views in a year. Like they've done a good job of like hyping up TV matches and, you know, big TV angles and things. I wonder if like some of this is kind of a reaction to what they're doing. I'm sure WWE would never like admit that they are reacting to something that AEW might be doing, but I wonder if there are people in the building who are like, okay, we're, if they can pull this off, then we can as well, and this is the perfect time to do it with us coming out on the other side of you know, the pandemic and vaccinations and returning to full crowds and touring and things like that.
That's what they should do, though. Like, I don't like the idea that you have to be insecure about adopting what
right.
other companies are doing well. Like, we're in journalism, we're in podcasting, we're in writing. Like, you, guess what? No column that people are reading right now was not thought of like 40 years
right.
ago. Like, you
right.
just, you put your own spin on it, you learn from others. Like, that's how you learn. You grew up reading certain writers, and guess what? Some of that writer might be in you. Like, some
yeah.
of, like, you just
yeah.
look and you're like, oh, they did that well, I'm gonna pivot a little bit there. This wasn't
yeah,
working.
I had
yeah.
I had a colleague tell me like a couple of years ago about just the world of sports journalism. He said, you know, be first, be better, be different, and you always want to try to be two of the three. And I feel like that works in other in other places as well, right? Like if another company is first to do something, then okay, you know, do it differently and do it better. Like that's completely fine. You don't have to not do it because somebody else was first. So
right.
I completely agree with you there.
What did you make of Piper Niven's debut on Monday Night Raw? Do you think this will work with Eva Marie? I'm a big Eva Marie guy. I think that's she's a ratings person. I think she is cool, and I like having variety. I enjoy this. Not everyone needs to be a awesome in-ring tactician. Like, we need some diversity on that front.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, it's like, I don't want to say we've gone like too far into like, this sounds weird, but like too far into like, oh, everybody has to be a great wrestler, but like you know, it's fine if the character is strong. And you know, we were kind of talking about Karrion Kross earlier, like
yeah.
there are ways to make it work if like you have, you know, everything except like the, you know, phenomenal in-ring work. Like you can make that happen. She's gonna have to get in the ring at some point, and you know, it seems like she's been training for the past, you know, few months, and even going back to I think last year when kind of the first reports about her potentially like signing. So like if you know, give her the benefit of the doubt, and she's been in the ring and training and working hard for the past 6, 7, 8 months, then maybe she'll surprise some people when she actually steps foot in the ring. I think they can drag this out a little bit with her you know with her sidekick, or her being the sidekick, or however they want to book it, and have just kind of a fresh presence on the Raw women's side, which has kind of gotten stale kind of by their own doing, I think, because they probably don't push people as they should. Like, I'm a big Naomi fan, and she should always be on TV.
Oh, God, that was brutal. They could have picked anyone else.
Right, right, right. And they've kind of utilized Nikki Cross a little more, but it's not, like, in her own feud. It's kind of just in the Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair, you know, atmosphere. So is that going to turn into something else where she's feuding with one of those women going forward in a feud that's not for the title? you know, they've got the time to do it. I mean, Raw's a 3-hour show, and they've got the talent that I think just kind of needs to be utilized a little better. But for now, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and see what the Eva Marie thing, how that works out. It's going to be fun to watch again, because I'm an Eva Marie fan like you are. So she means ratings, and I'm interested to see what happens.
I also don't understand, though. This is my biggest hang up and will continue to be my biggest hang up with NXT UK, NXT in general. So she's been there for, what, 2 years now at NXT UK? And she's going to get a different name. There's no real answer there, and they clearly want to just position her as a totally separate character and entity from her time in the same company, which is just, I don't understand the point. The entire point of NXT to begin with was to get people ready for the main roster. And if it's working on those brands, like the fact that they refuse to acknowledge the existence of the, like the, what these characters did on the other brands, like Andrade fell through this, Aleister Black fell through this, Samoa Joe fell through this. Like, I don't understand why you don't just have any continuity there. It doesn't take a lot of work. Just hype her up as NXT UK Piper Niven, and you brought her over, and now her she was like, it's pretty simple. Just be like, hey, she connected with Eva Marie in the Performance Center, getting ready for Eva's return. That's how you bring it up. But you like highlight her time in NXT UK. Like, I don't understand why this company refuses to just have any sort of continuity and just be like, hey, here's why you should watch NXT UK, because sometimes they can migrate over to Raw, or they can go back to, you get, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why they don't play on the same team and they don't treat each other as equals.
It's weird. It's an odd disconnect. And like, I don't want to say it's between like Vince McMahon and Triple H, cause I'm sure it's more complicated than that. But like, I thought the same thing this past week when the rumors started going out there that Samoa Joe might be returning to NXT. If that was kind of in the cards all along, like, you know, why not in April? Why didn't Triple H, you know what I mean, say like, hey, if you guys don't want Samoa Joe here, like, that, you know, I got something to do for him, and I got something for him to do in NXT. Like, it didn't take like this whole like him being like go, and then, you know, maybe, I don't know the backstory of that, maybe it was something that Samoa Joe requested to try to, you know, compete elsewhere, and he's not medically able or whatever. But it seems like a lot of that could have been happened on the front end, where you just have a conversation with the people in charge of like, okay, well, you guys aren't using them. I think I can use them here. Now, maybe that would have made his return a little less special, but you take him off of TV for 3 weeks and then you bring him back and it's still exciting, right?
Like, we're just pretending he wasn't the commentator on Raw forever.
It's weird. Like, it seems like they're just like conversations that should just be happening in a normal boardroom normally backstage, just like don't happen. And it leads to situations like you just described, where like people's like past championship wins and past rivalries just like aren't mentioned at all. It's really odd.
And it's good. This is what the NFL, this is the main reason I still believe the NFL will always be king, is because they won the college football farm system like a long time ago. Just fans get prepared to watch their favorite players on Saturdays, on Sundays. And the NFL draft just being a gigantic thing is because they just have all of these free TV time for the lesser product. I love them both. But like, they get to watch Kyler Murray for a couple of years. They get to watch Manning at Tennessee, and then they get to move on. Like, they do that. Like, but they hype them up. They add the value of like, this person was this at college. Like, here's why Cam Newton is going number one, because of what he did at Auburn. I don't understand why the WWE doesn't do the same thing with NXT and NXT UK and all the other. Like, I just don't understand it.
It's weird that like the biggest stars that have kind of gone through NXT are from when NXT wasn't as widely available as it is now. Mm-hmm. Like, you would think that the exposure would help people's reactions to when, someone like, say, Aleister Black or someone debuts on the main roster. It's like, oh, people know who this is. But, you know, the bigger stars that have gone through NXT are, you know, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, people like that, who, like, you didn't know. A lot of people didn't know who they were because NXT wasn't as easy to watch. It's just kind of a weird, like, how does that happen? I don't know. I don't have the answer. It seems like it's just as easy as having conversations with people, like I mentioned earlier. But, you know, I'm not a promoter, and I'm not in the business well enough to kind of know like if it's harder than that. It seems like it shouldn't be.
It it certainly feels that way. Something they're not overthinking is Roman versus The Rock and John Cena, because Roman right. is now clean. Like, he's now touching on that. It seems like John Cena is hinting at a SummerSlam appearance, and Stephanie's already mentioned that there's going to be a lot of surprises on this show. Do you think Roman's going to get them both? Because I think The Rock, I would just go ahead and lock that one in. Do you think he gets Cena and The Rock?
I do. I think he gets Cena at SummerSlam and The Rock potentially at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
would be my guess next year. And you have to. It seems like that's the way that this head of the table, you know, family storyline has to kind of, not necessarily an endpoint, because like I don't think The Rock should beat Roman Reigns, but, you know, that has to happen if this is kind of the story that continues to happen. Throughout the rest of the year, I think you know he's going to go through Mysterio. I think you have Cena coming back and saying, you know, when I was running this place, like I had respect, I had honor. You got none of that. Challenging him, he beat Cena. You have the fall where you know maybe you mix it up a little more with Mysterio, or you kind of maybe reheat Shinsuke. There's maybe a draft, and you just kind of get through the rest of the year. There's a lot of meat on the bone with the Usos of what's going to happen there. You know, that's a great story. Like maybe you see Jimmy and Jay versus, you know, Jimmy versus Jay for some sort of, you know, stakes or something down the line in the fall. But
Jay's to go back to your original point, like there's a lot of Jeff Hardy stuff with Jay. Like I think there is real value in him as a long-term
And guy. You could kind of see that, you know, that could be maybe, you know, we're fantasy booking here, which is what wrestling nerds do. But like maybe that's like the beginning of the you know, the Rock storyline of like you have Jay wanting to, you know, branching out on his own and toward the end of the year. And when he can't do it, you know, the Rock comes back to kind of not necessarily save the day, but to kind of be that next challenger for Roman. And, you know, I think he's going to get them both. You know, it seems like obvious that Cena's going to be SummerSlam, but that might make it mean that that's not necessarily going to happen because, you know, they pull another a rabbit out of the hat. And also there's going to be the draft too, or reportedly being a draft in August or September, which is going to probably shake things up a little bit with some people maybe coming over from Raw who could, you know, be fresh challenges for Roman
also
and vice versa.
NXT. I hope they include NXT this year, but also sending some Raw and SmackDown people to NXT like Breezango are just another great example. I think Finn Balor's done great work.
Finn Balor's a great,
just do that. Just send. Don't look at it as a demotion. Just move them down to give them a fresh opportunity. Like, I don't understand why they don't do that more.
And I think maybe the Finn Balor thing is going to be, like, kind of like a case study in, like, how well it could work, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what he lost to, I guess that was when The Fiend debuted, was when he kind of went away and then, you know, went back to NXT for what was probably going to be a few months and then ended up being, you know, a year and a half or whatever it is. I think like that's a, it was essentially the same character, but they had some slight differences. You know, he wasn't lifting his arms in the air during the entrance music like anymore. You know, he was just kind of walking to the ring, just kind of a different iteration of the character. And I agree. I remember there was an interview, I think it was Finn Balor, who kind of said, you know, like Raw and SmackDown are more like the movies and NXT is kind of like Broadway, you know, like not necessarily, you know, a demotion, as you said, but just kind of a different type of performance. And they've got a big enough roster that, like, if people are better suited to one type of performance over the other, like, then it shouldn't be a big deal for them to kind of, you know, thrive in that area, especially when they've got, like I said, so much talent available and NXT is as visible as it is now. And then that kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier. Like, I wonder how the talent looks at it. You know, there might be some people who believe it's a demotion, and some people who are kind of like, no, we're all on the same level, and I think I can do better here. But yeah, I hope NXT is involved in that draft as well, just to freshen up the rosters and, you know, present new challengers to some of these champions, assuming, you know, it's still Roman and Lashley, which I think it might be. It's kind of fresh faces. Like if Kevin Owens is on Raw, like I want to see a Kevin Owens versus Bobby Lashley feud. Like, that would be fun. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I'm excited. The Roman stuff has just been great. I'm just excited to see Rock.
Yeah, he's so
like,
he's
just
so,
don't overthink it, guys. It's gonna be. I think the video package is gonna be better than the matches. Like that's what the company does better than anything else. Like the company's video packages are just unreal. You don't have to watch the shows anymore. Like, just
they can kind of, and they can kind of put their, like, you know, only one of them can be in like the next Fast 10 movie. Mm. Like, only the winner of the few, you know, like they're all involved in that universe, right?
Did you see that snippet of the magnetic car?
Yeah, I'm
so excited. Like,
I've got a coworker who, you know, obviously the Athletic is largely remote, and a coworker who lives in Australia, and he's already seen F9.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. There's only one Australian NBA writer that I'm familiar with.
Right, and so he saw F9, and like I want to ask him about it, but also don't. You know what I mean? I want to keep that element.
No,
of surprise,
I'm seeing that in IMAX. Just I don't want any spoilers. I don't want my F9. Universe
experience to be
exactly. Last thing we'll wrap up here this afternoon, Tyler. Hell in a Cell is happening this weekend somehow. What interests you? What doesn't? What do you make of this show?
I feel like there's going to be another match added, right? I mean, there's only five right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Sounds amazing. That means it's get in and out. Like, sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, you know, maybe they're going to stretch out the Seth Rollins Cesaro thing. Seemed like that was going to be a Hell in a Cell match, but obviously the one from SmackDown is going to be Roman Reigns versus Rey Mysterio. I'm excited about those two. Like, that match should be great. It was kind of a weird build. Like, you know, you have this kind of long-standing feud between Lashley and McIntyre. That's kind of how we've been, like, conditioned to think Hell in a Cell matches should be, after, like, you know, this 3 or 4 month-long blood feud. And kind of the Mysterio thing is, like, which I get. It's like, hey, you tried to injure my son, I want you inside of a cell. It seems like they could have, like, stretched that out a little bit longer, and made that maybe, you know, a month long as opposed to like a couple of weeks, which is all it's really been. But those two guys are so good, and Rey Mysterio somehow is still, you know, one of the best in the world at you know, almost 50. Like, I'm excited to see that match. Obviously, Roman Reigns is going to win, but what's been really interesting with a lot of his matches is just like how they happen. You know what I mean? You kind of know what the result is going to be a lot of the times, but like just how it's been booked with, you know, Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan and everything like that. So those guys are so good. I'm excited about that match. And Bianca Belair and Bayley, I think, should be really, really good as well. It's a really good challenger, first challenger for Bianca, to kind of step up against in a first big, kind of like pay-per-view moment. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch, obviously, because it's wrestling, and I watch too much wrestling, and maybe not enough wrestling in some ways. I'm really interested, like, not to look past Hell in a Cell, but like Edge and Daniel Bryan are still kind of out there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I know Daniel Bryan is, I guess, not technically under contract, but everything seems to be like he's not going anywhere. Like, I'm interested to see what happens with them, whether it be against Reigns or Lashley going forward. I don't know if that's some of the surprises that Stephanie McMahon has been alluding to, but Edge is,
well, I think, you know, Becky Lynch is the main one. I would pencil Becky as the SummerSlam surprise. Like, I think they're just she's been ready. I think they're probably just waiting for fans, with Becky.
But, you know, they still have, you know, Roman Reigns versus Edge. They still haven't fought one-on-one, you know, obviously the WrestleMania match got moved to a triple threat. So there's still like some potential there for him to, you know, for Edge to kind of, I love kind of psychotic, you know, crazy Edge. And he just becomes like obsessed with like getting back a championship he never lost. And the possibilities with that, whether it be against Roman Reigns or even Lashley, you know, could be fun if he just is like obsessed with getting this belt. And then, you know, again, more fantasy booking, but maybe that turns into like a full blown heel turn. And then you got some other possibilities there down the line. Like, I still think, Edge is still in the back of my mind for these big shows over the next year, and there's a lot of ways that he could be used that I'm excited to see, because, you know, I actually saw what was his last match at the time at WrestleMania 27, and so I'm glad that, like, you know, I was in Atlanta for that, and I'm glad that he's back, and he had the injury last year, and obviously he can still go in the ring. I'm excited to see what happens there, but Hell in a Cell wise, definitely excited for Roman and Rey and the SmackDown Championship match too, as well. Bianca and Bayley.
This is the last show they will have without fans, right? Pay per view.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Money in the Bank is that first weekend where they're going to start to tour. I think it's in Texas somewhere. I think Fort Worth.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited to see who's over, like, consistently. I want to see what Raw and SmackDown are like. Are people sitting on their hands? Like, that would be the best post COVID situation is that Raw just disappears for that third hour. They just drop it. Like, it just COVID's over, and so is the 3 hours of Raw. That would be a delightful present.
It's like that stretching out that 3 hours is so problematic, but like there's so much advertising money there to be made.
But if you
like, they're never going to do it.
205 Live there. Just give 205 Live as the Monday. Like, if USA wants something there, just put 205 Live or something like that, their own version of Rampage, Sunday Night Heat, whatever. Just turn that into the first hour, the last hour. That's what I would do. And still, like, I don't know why, and just make Raw a 2 hour product, but still have 3 hours of wrestling.
Right. I agree. They should hire us.
They really should. Like, Vince, I know you're a longtime listener to the pod. Kevin Dunn, apologies to the comments earlier.
We didn't mean it.
No, just bring us in. We'll see what happens. Tyler, what can we check out from you across theathletic.com this week?
Well, I tell you, the playoffs, as I mentioned, are going on. There's a lot of great coverage.
I've heard about that. The Atlanta Hawks are pretty good.
Yeah, the Hawks are up 3-2 right now. The athletic staff has done some really, really great work this week with, we got a couple of deep dive pieces on Stan Van Gundy and the Mavericks front office that published in the past couple of days. We're about to turn up the dial on a lot of our draft coverage with the draft lottery being next week. So a lot of editing to be done, a lot of coordinating to be done, but it's fun, and it's a great time if you're a basketball fan. So if you are, head over to The Athletic. If you don't have a subscription, I highly suggest signing up and coming along for the ride.
Absolutely. It's a great, great subscription, and I've enjoyed having it for several years now. Like, The Athletic's sneakily been around for a little bit. Y'all need to, not to just go full managing editor here, Tyler, but we need the pro wrestling vertical. When is that coming? When is theathletic.com/pro-wrestling going to be available?
I tell you, I don't have any inside information if it was ever in the cards or if they ever wanted to
you and Chris
to go down
can
that
run
road.
It. What are we doing?
I think Chris and I have talked in the past. I think that would be I'd be a perfect person to kind of help out on that end. But we did have a nice story today, which I'll plug on Omos. Obviously the Raw,
yes,
one half
good.
Of the Raw tag team
champion. I
should
have plugged that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which was kind of talking about his journey from Nigeria to college basketball to where he is now. So I don't know if it's a test case to see how those kind of things resonate with the audience, and then maybe down the line we kind of go full blown into professional wrestling. But trust me, it's something that I've thought about and I've talked about with some coworkers just in passing, just to kind of other wrestling nerds, as you kind of talked about. So maybe one day.
There you go. Tyler, keep up the great work, sir. Thank you so much for the time. Let's not make it a couple years between pro wrestling conversations.
Yeah, not at all. We'll be in touch and let's see this again soon.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.